So you can find the text in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must suffer and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I say to you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
So we have a holy challenge from Jesus, and a holy challenge from Jesus for us as individuals and for us as a church. I wonder what it is. Did you spot it in the passage? Well, here are some illustrations, some pictures to help us to start thinking about that challenge. Okay, now I want you to look at these pictures and see if you can work out what these people have in common. What do these people have in common? You may recognize one of them. I don't think you'll recognize the others. What have they got in common? What theme or idea unites these pictures? What are they all having to do, one way or another? Anyone want to guess? Anyone want to put a hand up? Yes, Beth. They're working hard, yes? Yeah? Do you agree? Is it actually a bit more than working hard? What do you think? Maybe it's a little bit much to ask, Mark. I think it's more than that. It's really hurting. Yeah, Andrew. They're continuing, they're pressing on, and it's really hurting, it's costing them something, isn't it? Yeah? So we can see there, for example, Mo Farah, it really hurts for him to win the Great North Run. Andrew Bertram is just out of shot, just behind him, not far behind there. It really hurts to win a race. It really hurts, you have to really spend some effort to get in the army, yeah? To be the top soldier. Then, of course, in a different way, to be really good at playing the piano, all that time you have to spend practicing. There's a real cost, isn't there? Look at that girl studying down there at the right. You have to spend lots of energy and time and drink lots of coffee to pass your exams. And we won't even mention what that lady is going through in the top corner. Yeah? We won't even mention that. This is the point, isn't it? This is the point. In the things that really matter in life, there is no pain. If there is no pain, there is no gain. That's a basic principle, isn't it? In most of the things that matter in life, no pain, no gain. In order to do something or achieve something or have some kind of significant impact, then it hurts. There's a cost. There's a price to pay to get where you want to be. Now I wonder, is there a similar idea in the Christian faith? Is it true for Christians as well that there is that if there's no pain, there is no gain? Well, look again at these words which we read just now. Jesus said to his disciples, let's say it all together, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. He says it's true, doesn't he? He says no pain, no gain. If we want to follow him, we must carry a cross. We must make a sacrifice. We must do things that, well, if not hurt physically, which take something from us in order to get something better. Now, we have to remember, don't we, that the greatest pain, for the greatest pain, for the gain, I'm getting confused here. You work out what I'm trying to say, but I confuse the words pain and gain. The greatest example is his pain for our gain. His pain for our gain. When Jesus died on the cross, he was bearing the pain we deserved so that we could get the gain that he deserved. So that we could be completely free of all the things which make us guilty. All the things which cut us off from God and spoil our relationships with other people. In that sense, his pain was our gain. And I hope you trust and believe in Jesus so that his death was for you and that you can live with him. But then, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we have to follow him. And as we do that, we too must be willing to take up our cross, to pay our share of the price of following Jesus. Now I wonder, are we willing to do that? To hear that challenge, what might that mean? Well, in years gone by, it meant a very great deal. Does anybody know what this place is? Say it nice and loud. The Colosseum. Now, I wonder if any of the children know what used to happen in the Colosseum. Yeah, Johnny, you can help this one. Blood sports. What particular kind, Andrew? Gladiators and worse. What happened to Christians there? They got killed, thrown to the lions, and sometimes even worse. In the early days of the church, following Christ and carrying the cross might have meant actually being fed to lions. But you all walk past an example that happened much more recently in our own day and age. There's a plaque outside the wall there that reminds us that even just 500 years ago in our own city, people were dying because they were following Jesus. Because they were carrying the cross, because they wanted to share the good news of Jesus. And as for today, well, all kinds of terrible things are still happening, perhaps more now than there have been for many years. On the top right, we have a lady and her daughter in India whose houses have been burned. There have been more than 600 attacks in the last 100 days by Hindu extremists. And Christians, and also others in India. On the top left, one of the Christian girls who's been taken kidnapped by the Islamic extremists in Nigeria, in a Christian school. And across the bottom, families having to flee their homes, 1.5 million of them, from Iraq alone. Awful things happen there. For these people, carrying the cross has meant something very, very significant, hasn't it? What about us? I don't suppose many of us have ever been through anything like this. Pretty unlikely that it's going to happen in this way for us, or indeed for most Christians in our world. But as I look around, I do see people who are bearing a cross one way or another, who are paying a price. There are people, for example, whose career progress has been curtailed or who have lost out on a job or a promotion because they're a real Christian. There are people whose hopes for marriage and having children have been frustrated because of being a Christian and following Jesus. There are people whose plans for a comfortable, relaxed retirement have had to be shelved because they're following Jesus. There are, in fact, all kinds of ways, maybe a bit less obvious, where we have to carry a cross today. So I'm going to ask us just to pause and think Are we willing to hear that challenge and follow wherever Jesus might call us to go, whatever that cost might be? Well, I can promise you that if you are a Christian and follow Jesus, there will be plenty of opportunities for you to carry the cross, for you to sacrifice something for his glory. And many of them will be out there in the lives that you live, most of your time, and 98% of your life that you live outside of church. But there will be sometime opportunities within church too for you to carry a cross and pay a price to follow Jesus. I've been round and taken some pictures to help us see what some of those things might be. See if this works. Oh, here we go. Okay. So here's some people at our prayer. Oh, giving it away. What are they doing? What are they doing? Were you paying attention? What are these strange people doing? Have they all got bad backs? No, but they're going to get bad backs, aren't they, if they carry on sitting like that? What's going on here? What's happening? Yep. They're praying. That's right. This was a prayer meeting in our prayer week this week. Now, how are they carrying the cross? What are they giving up in order to do this? It's Johnny. Time. That's right. Who knows what they could have been watching on television? Who knows what else they could have been doing? But they gave up some time to pray. That's a pretty small sacrifice, isn't it? But in our busy world, it's a real sacrifice. Our week of prayer hasn't finished. We have one more session after this evening's service. A brief session. It would be great to have a really large number of us to attend that last meeting. So come along to that, even if you've not been to any of the others. We have 75 people altogether so far, but we want more to complete the week this evening. Is this some way in which the Lord is calling you to make a small sacrifice for something greater and bigger? Okay, well, let's have a look at the next picture. Here we go. Like that. What have I done? Have I messed it up? Oh, yes. Can you see? What kind of sacrifice has been made here? What kind of sacrifice? Come on, kids, you're not giving me much action, not much input here. What's happened downstairs? Have you noticed? Have you not noticed the toilets downstairs? Yes, Andrew? That's right, the tiles are being replaced. And several people in the church sacrificed their fingernails to do that, I think. It was a lot of hard work, at least 4 or 5 evenings. And half the people doing it were elders too. They had their other meetings as well. Maybe practical service is a way in which we have to make a sacrifice. A small sacrifice, but in a small way, carry the cross in the life of the church. Could that be something that you are called to do? What's the next picture? Get there. Ah! What do we use those for? You should have had your eyes open. What's this? Anybody know? Go on then, Johnny, this time. The bag that you put your money in, yeah? Yeah? It's a sacrifice you might make. It's a cross that we have to bear. We are glad to give in order that better things can happen. It's a privilege, but it's a cost to being a Christian. Everything that happens in this church happens because people are generous with their money and are willing to give. Everything. We don't get any money from governments or grants or anything else like that. So it's really important that some of us are willing to carry the cross in this way. What other examples? What are they doing? How are they carrying the cross? What price are they having to pay? These are young people going around asking questions of what really matters in life. It was for our mission over the summer. What's the cost for them? Well, it was their summer holiday, wasn't it? That was a price they paid. Are you willing to sacrifice your summer holiday for the sake of Jesus? Are you willing to take the risk of embarrassment? Imagine if they'd met one of their friends from school. Oh, how embarrassing that would have been. What's going on here? What price is Barney paying here? Yes. Barney is paying the price of all credibility, of all dignity, in order... No, he didn't have to give away. He didn't have a lot of dignity to lose anyway. Children, you need to remember that although it's fun, the people who run your children's work give something up in order to look after you. Now, we can't pretend, can we, that any of these things match the example of those who give up their whole lives to serve Jesus. But then we can't make terrible things happen in order that we suffer. We can only serve in the ways that God makes possible for us. That's the important thing to remember. And in one way, it is a bit harder for us compared to people who live in terrible places where persecution happens. In one small way. Because at least in those situations, it is obvious. It's clear how to take and where you have to take your stand or not. In our situations, it's not so obvious what price we should pay. We have, if you like, to carve our own cross to a certain extent and work out what God is calling us to sacrifice and give for his purposes. And you know, there can sometimes be a bit of a problem with that in a big church, because we look around and we think, oh, I can choose to do things. Not everyone does everything. In a small church, you have to all muck in. In a big church, you don't. You have to decide what you're going to do. And that means you can decide to do the things which you're good at rather than the things you're not so good at. That's fine. But it also means that you can choose to do the things that you like rather than the things that you don't like. That's not so good. It also means that you can choose to do the things that you find easy, the things that don't intrude, the things that don't really cost you very much, rather than the things that do. Is that the same as carrying the cross? I don't think so. No. Just because we have to choose what we do doesn't mean that we should choose what's easy. It doesn't mean that we can give God our loose change and fag ends and leftovers at the end of the rest of our life. He must come first in everything that we do. And it's worthwhile. For the Son of Man is coming to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. No pain, no gain. But the more we give for the glory of Christ, the more we carry his cross, the greater the rewards of glory will be. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for carrying that great pain for us so that we can have the great gain of heaven. And we pray that we would have the wisdom to follow in your footsteps, to carry our cross, whatever that might be, that we might know that better heavenly reward. Amen.